everybody. I want to welcome you to the inaugural episode, which is, for you common folks, episode number one of Highballs with Heaton, with my very special friend, Andrew Heaton.
Hello.
Andrew, I'm happy to be drinking alcohol with you today.
I'm happy to be drinking with you, sir.
Today's featured alcohol is Bullet Bourbon. Bullet tends to be, I think this is a rye whiskey. It is made, calls itself Frontier Whiskey, which means it's rot gut, sarsaparilla. You throw down your coin and this is what they give you. Boom. It's a pretty bottle. It's a nice Frontier type saloon bottle.
You can put some lights in that, put it on your porch. Have a little decoration.
Leave it to you for home and gardens,
Heaton. My whole backyard just lit up with liquor bottles every night.
Well, that's because you turn the back porch light on and people, they could see all the broken glass out there where you stood on the back porch and said, ah, screw it.
It's like a fairy exploded all over the yard, just glass and dreams.
So we're having highballs. We're not having highballs. We're having old fashions in here, and we're hanging out. And here's going to be the format of the show.
Okay.
Now, I can't help it that you're liberal, and I can't help it that...
Right?
Okay. But let's go with this.
Keep going, Chad.
Andrew, let's go with this for a second, because let me tell you, if you're tuning into this, there's a good chance you've never actually had a conversation with anyone who disagrees with you on a topic. And I love the fact that you and I can get together and over a cordial cocktail have a conversation, and you many times challenge me or you may solidify my beliefs. I'm not threatened by either one.
We've gone along together after drinks. We've got along sober. We have punched each other before, but it was all in good fun, and it had no lasting emotional harm whatsoever.
No. In fact, I look forward to my next punch. Speaking of punch, cheers, everybody, and welcome to Highballs with Heaton. That moment of silence brought to you by The Head. The Head, as you know, in Studio 22, just kind of hangs out. You never know where it's going to be. It creeps people out. We have inside The Head the brains of The Head. And what I mean by that is we have topics. And I'm going to allow Mr. Andrew Heaton in his top coat, his top hat, and his waistcoat.
Yeah, I think I look like, I'm like alternate reality you if we lost the American Revolution. This is how you'd be dressed right now if the British had won.
So now, you know that the original cowboy hat was really just a derby?
Really?
A derby hat.
So I figured it was to block sunlight.
Well, it was, but that was a Mexican influence. Yeah. So that was the vaqueros. That was a Mexican influence that came in. But actually, in the old days, like you think Billy the Kid and these guys, the railroaders, and you know where the word cowpoke comes from? All the cowboys got drunk in the saloon, and they didn't have anybody. So what they did is they hired people to come out there with a long stick because they didn't know how to do it on horses and handle a rope, and they would just poke the cows.
Oh, nice.
So the non-cowboys were the cowpokes. They were trying to get them on the rail stations. They were trying to get them on the freight cars.
Excellent.
So they just poke them with a stick. Yeah. So
I think I'd be like a cow nudge.
Cow nudger.
Although, you know, I'll tell you, my first job out of college, you wouldn't guess it, but my first job out of college was working on a ranch.
Yeah.
Mostly rebuilding downed fences and things like that. I got shocked quite a lot by cow lines, electric lines.
So. If you went to Oklahoma now, they'd be so ashamed.
I had a moment.
They'd be like, he's done got uppity.
Because I lived in New York for a few years. Last year, I went to Cowboys in Oklahoma City. Have you been there?
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with it, it's a dance club, and there's the obligatory mechanical bull.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have like a literal bull riding thing every like 20 minutes.
The club turns into
a bull riding thing instead of a bar.
With
real animals. And I was like, this is great. And then I started looking around, like I was wearing cowboy boots in New York, and it was kind of like, I'm a little bit exotic. And then I was talking to these actual cowboys, and I was like, I'm not from here anymore.
No.
This took a little bit of time, but
what's that place right over there across from Rockefeller Center that's kind of the cowboy bar in New York City? You go downstairs underneath. It's right underneath, what is it, the Pearl Hotel, Boutique Hotel? Right there, NYC. They got a mechanical bull down there. I would love to get you on a mechanical bull. If nothing, to just take the photo op.
Done.
With you dressed
next time
exactly
I'm there,
like
I,
this.
If I'd known there was a mechanical bull in Rockefeller Center, I would have hit that up.
I can't decide if I want you dressed like this or like Elvis. Both are fun.
I feel like, I think what's going to happen is if I'm dressed like Elvis, I'm going to get thrown off. Mm-hmm. If I'm wearing a top hat, I'm going to get thrown off and hit the ceiling real hard because those guys are they know how to use torque pretty well on a mechanical bull in my experience.
I think it's harder to ride a mechanical bull, depending on the operator, than it is to ride a real bull.
Yeah. I defer to you. I've not ridden a real bull before, yeah. But I would imagine they could buck pretty hard. Plus, they put that thing around their testicles. Have you seen that?
Oh. No, they don't.
What, they don't? They're just naturally
that's a,
that
that's a myth. That's an urban legend. Really? Speaking of urban legends.
I'm learning a lot from you. Thank
yes,
you, Chad.
It's not cruelty to animals. Let's talk about a topic. What did you pull from the head?
I pulled, do you support the death penalty?
Oh, this is a hot topic.
Great.
I say kill them all. I say bring it back and just let's hang them high, hang them publicly, electrocute them, put stuff in their veins. I don't care if it's Drano, Arm & Hammer, or bleach. What do you think?
Now, is that for everybody that's been convicted of
any
crime?
Oh, yeah. I don't care if you, like, just because you did it don't mean you're guilty. But I think that if there's even a reasonable doubt, I think they need to put your Scott Peterson ass in the grave. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if... Like, just put them down. Okay, so first of all, why is it okay for these crazy transcendental nutcases to come out and say, oh, the Earth is overpopulated. We got 7.5-8 billion people here. The Earth really can only manage about 1.5 billion. Well, let's go ahead and start knocking that population down with people that might have done it. That's my philosophy.
You know, okay. If we're going to get to the Logan's Run school of political thought, where we have to be executing people over 30, then sure, at that point, let's start with the criminals. That's all right. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing with the death penalty. Being from Oklahoma, it turns out we keep killing innocent people. We've done it a number of times now. And nationally, we've done it a number of times as well, all over the country, right? Because we now have DNA evidence, and we keep finding out that we've got a failure rate at that. And I don't want to kill anybody if we can't undo it. Because occasionally, we'll have somebody that's locked up for 20, 30 years, and it turns out, ooh, like, my bad. We can at least give them some money and like a congratulatory letter that they're not a felon and be like, we're real sorry, but at least we didn't electrocute you, right? Yeah. But if we electrocute them, there's no takes backs.
Yeah, because the whole death thing is hard to undo.
It's hard to undo.
It is hard to undo.
I'll say if you could take the life of a convicted felon and give it to the person who was murdered, that I would be in favor of, but yeah. We don't have that technology yet.
We don't.
We can just kill
people.
We're
getting there. Let's get Andrew Yang in. As president, and then we're going to get a whole new AI,
everybody
a whole
gets
new thing.
10% life. Everyone
exactly.
gets just a universal basic life.
Yes. Keanu Reeves gets to star in that movie. Mm-hmm. Now, with the advance in forensic science and criminal investigation, things like the body farm. Are you familiar with the body farm? Have you ever seen
no.
any of that? Okay. So Knoxville, Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, there is a forensic scientist and professor there who teaches a class on forensic criminology. And he created what's called the body farm. They actually created a series of novels, fiction novels, based on the body farm. And so what they do is they put bodies out there in the body farm to be in all various manner of decomposition and position. Like they'll take a fresh cadaver out there. These people have donated their bodies to science, and they'll tie them up to a tree. Or they'll run them over with a car, and they'll put them in the woods, and they'll see how they decompose. So now they can study these dead bodies and see what would it look like in an actual crime scene? Like, how would it decompose? How would you gather the evidence and things like that? So you literally take a class, and you walk around behind this 8-foot privacy fence out there in several acres of the woods, and there's dead bodies all around you.
I'm sure the property value is real high.
I'm sure everybody wants to be a neighbor. Yeah. They're moving in for the smell alone.
Yeah, that's
So it's kind of crazy. University of Tennessee, leave it to us good rednecks in the South. So with all of these advances
I would call it the Corpse Institute. I'd call it the Corpse Institute
I just joined
the Cadaver
Corps.
Foundation.
I just joined the Corps. It looks like corpse, but whatever, without the E. I want to know with this, okay, so obviously you're using the argument to say that DNA testing and forensics and these kind of things are proving people's innocence. But what if, hands down, it's proving people's guilt? Is that person convicted of that and proven to be guilty of that? Let's say there's a confession to it.
Right.
Should there be capital punishment?
I'm still going to go with no. Now, I think the consequentialist argument's the best one. That's the one I'm going to lead in with, because I think overall we at some point we're going to make a mistake. And our legal system is founded on the idea that we'd rather have guilty people go free than have innocent people wrongfully convicted. And I think that extends to the death penalty. But let's say theoretically we can we're living in panopticon of the future, and that is no longer a consideration. I'd still be against the death penalty for a couple of reasons. First, way more expensive. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but if we want to live in a society where you do get to appeal things, you do get to have an attorney, you do get to go through all of the civil liberties that we enjoy in a country like ours, where you're not just lined up against the wall and shot, you wind up spending more money to prosecute a death penalty case by several hundred thousand dollars. Like, actually, if you were to get rid of the death penalty right now, it would save us something like 10 to 30 million. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it would save us a lot of money, right? So I think there's a financial argument to be made. And I'm fine with that for this reason. I want the criminal justice system, I want it to keep people safe, and then after that, to save money. Those are basically the two things I want to do. I'm actually less concerned with the whole, like, you deserve X punishment. I'm more concerned with not having you do things to other people.
Yeah. So your form of fiscal justice should make sure that the person that raped and murdered your daughter stays alive. I understand. My opinion is just turn them loose and let us deal with them. That's all you got to do. Just let us deal with them.
Vigilante Chad, so you're just waiting out there with the tire iron?
Yeah, it'll be about a 44-cent bullet, and we'll handle it. We'll take care of it. We'll probably use more bullets than that. It wouldn't be the most humane practice, but nonetheless, as a father of five kids and a husband of a beautiful wife, if something were to happen to one of those and it was proven, I would want, regardless of the fiscal responsibility, I would be willing to give up a few tax returns just to watch that person fry. But that's just my sense of poetic justice and the fact that, being from the South, I do love a good barbecue.
What about now? If we take it outside of the death penalty in general, because we've got this kind of interesting cleave point, I think, with Joe Arpaio a few years ago, who's now gone. But Joe Arpaio, his criminal justice perspective is throw a brick at them real hard, they won't do it again. Now that feels good. I feel like there's a solid emotional return on that, but the data doesn't indicate that it's good. In fact, like Joe Arpaio had a terrible recidivism rate. As does the United States, our recidivism rate's really high.
Right.
And again, because my top priority is being safe and saving money, it seems to me that, and I don't often say this, but a Nordic model works pretty well. Because in Norway and Sweden and all those things, they basically treat them like they're at camp. Like they're wearing like civilian clothing and everything. And they're giving them, you know, like emotional counseling, and they're giving them, you know, high school degrees. Do they deserve it? Maybe not. But when they get out, they go get a job as opposed to going back in again. And that means that I'm safer from them coming after me, and I'm saving money. And in general, those are the two things that I want to lean on. I would rather be safe and have money than vengeance.
So let's take that one step further, because I know that Canada was trying to institute a policy where they were willing to bring in terrorist refugees and rehab them through basically the same means and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give them a job. We're going to give them a life. We're going to give them respect. And hopefully they don't ever blow again. Now, we know that they are programmed in a certain way to think about violence against the infidel. Mm-hmm. All right. And so you got to carry that. I think you have to carry that out and say there are people who are just bent towards crime or violence. You know, there are those folks that are out there, your Bonnie and Clyde, your natural born killers, these folks that are out there. What do you do with those folks who are recidivistic when it comes to violence, when it comes to murder, rape?
Yeah, I'd lock them up.
Serial killing, Ted Bundy?
For the record, I'm not saying we should like try and eventually, the goal is not to get everybody out of prison with a hug and a fresh start. That's not the goal.
Right.
The goal is safety primarily, right? But if an 18-year-old... is convicted of assault because they beat some guy up in a bar fight. Like, yeah, okay. When he's like 30 or 40 or something, maybe he could get out of jail. You know,
I agree with that. I think that the people that smoke weed, you shouldn't be in jail. Like, I don't think you should be in jail. I really don't think you should be getting your rectum rearranged because you sold an eighth to a dude down on 8th Street. You know, but here's the thing. So the word penitentiary comes from the old English word penitent, which meant that we were going to put people in incarceration in order to make them penitent,
right,
or prayerful.
Yeah.
And so here's the way I look at it, Andrew. If after a few years, this guilty bastard isn't praying yet, kill him. Just kill him. Because they can't be reformed.
I'm going to say no. I don't, for a couple of reasons. One, I don't really like the state killing people, and I don't like the idea that we want to entrust the state with killing people. We're going to have to do that sometimes. If we're at war, people got to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I'd prefer that not happen. And I also, like, is it because you think that the world's going to be safer, or is it just because they deserve to die? Because if we're getting into a value side of it, which I think is a legitimate realm to get into, and if my tune would probably change if one of my family members was shot or something. Right now, I'm able to operate outside of that.
Yeah.
But if we're getting into that realm of distributive justice, I think the just thing to do would be to take a murderer's life and give it to the person that had been murdered. But we can't do that. Like, so in effect, what we have no ability in a death penalty case to actually make justice happen. We have an ability to execute vengeance, which I think is a different thing. And I don't want the state involved in vengeance. I don't want a power that can kill people to also have a bloodthirsty anger to it. That strikes me as a bad way to run it.
There you go, folks. Highballs with Heaton bringing you the issues, whether you agree with them or not. My side, his side, we're all on the same side. And remember, folks, in the state of Texas, stealing horses is a hanging crime. I want to talk to you today about mean comments we get, mean threads, mean tweets, mean messages. I say to people all the time that I wish you could spend a day in my inbox and just read the pure blathering crap that comes my way. It's always interesting. You, just yesterday, Natalie, hot news, Natalie.
Yep.
Someone called you a Now, what do you think you've done to receive status?
Well, it was, to be more correct, it was stupid ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. I wonder if she learned that language in church.
I don't know. I just thought, you're mean.
Now, somebody else said that I look horned. I think they meant horny. And I think that they said that we should just go at it, get it out of the way, and then we can come back to the show and get to the funny.
Get to the funny. I think she wants you to be funny. And I would say that she said,
be funny, but,
we thought she meant horny, but she said horned at least three times.
Yeah.
In three different comments.
Apparently, her phone autocorrects to horned instead of horny.
I know.
Tells me that she stays pretty horned up herself. Party foul Steve is sitting over there in the peanut gallery by himself. He's pretty horned.
I stay horned.
You stay horned, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I stay horned.
It doesn't matter how much action happens in your life, you stay horned. But no, I love when people say, just get to the funny. Just get to the funny. Well, right. We don't just tell jokes here. Although Bubba and Wayne were wanting to get their GED. And so Wayne said, well, I don't know what we got to do to get it, but I'll go down to the school guidance counselor and ask him. And so he goes down there and he says, what do we do to get a GED? And the guidance counselor says, you got to pass a test in three areas, math, history, and logic. And he said, well, I understand math and understand history, but what's logic? And she said, well, let me see if I can explain it to you like this. She said, Wayne, do you have a weed eater? He said, yeah, I do. She said, well, then logic tells me that you got a lawnmower. And he goes, well, yeah, that's right. And he goes, and if you got a lawnmower, logic tells me that you got a lawn. And if you got a lawn, logic tells me that you probably have a house. And if you have a house, logic tells me you're probably married. If you're married, logic tells me you probably have kids and have a family. And so, you know, logic tells me that you must be a heterosexual. And he says, okay, well, that's interesting. So he goes back and Bubba says, what do we got to do to get this GED? And he says, well, she said we got to pass a test in three areas, math, history, and logic. And Bubba says, well, Wayne, I know what math and history is. What's this logic stuff? And he said, well, let me see if I can put it to you this way, Bubba. He said, you got a weed eater? And Bubba said, no, man. He said, boy, you queer or something. That's a funny joke right there.
Cute.
That's a funny joke. So there you go. Get yourself all horned up on the funny. That's good stuff. What other mean stuff have you got?
Well, I should know not to read comments. Although I will say 90%, Candace, you would agree, they're really kind and they're awesome. They're mainly talking about you, as it should be. This is
the Chad Prather show.
And they come to hang out with you, and then I'm just bringing really cool subjects or topics, and then everybody's really.
Is that what you bring?
Yes. And then they're coming here for your opinion, not mine. So I don't really give my opinion often. I just bring the news, but I don't know how I became a stupid ass.
A class?
One girl wrote, "Oh, the cheerleader again with the
face." Yeah. The cheerleader and the vomit face.
I love that she thinks I'm still a cheerleader. I'll take it, but I'm not. I actually have done other things in my career besides cheering for the Dallas Cowboys, which I'm a big fan of, and I love that I did that. But I do have other accomplishments, including graduating at the top of my class at my university. So I do bring a little bit of intelligence. Now, not Chad Prather intelligence, and I tell you this all the time. You are able to spew. You guys agree. Information that normal people don't remember. Not that we didn't study it, but the Treaty of Versailles, I'm with Steve.
Well, Steve, after the Treaty of Versailles video, somebody we were filming yesterday on location, and for the Humor Me show on Blaze TV, which you need to get, blazetv.com/humor, use promo code Chad. And somebody said about Steve, they said, he's a moron. And it tore Steve up. I mean, just chapped his hide.
No, it didn't. I responded, at least I can grow hair.
Which was a very really drunken nice. Response that...
Was it Joseph?
And the guy said, I mean, like, it's no, not like guy he put came effort. Back and said, no, I love you, dude. So.
And then the guy was like, no, dude, I'm just, you know, I love it. I mean, because...
Okay, but wait.
Because my response, which I have to be careful because I'll burn you quick. Like, if you'd have said, at least I can grow hair, I would have said, well, can you read a book? So, I mean, it tore you up for like an hour. Who's this guy think he is?
I don't think so. It didn't bother me.
Oh, you
that
were
bad.
Pretty. Yeah.
That was, no,
Steve
that was
in rare form yesterday, Candice. Let me tell you.
I was drunk and pissed.
I think he got pissed and then drunk. Yeah. And then, as they say not in Scotland, that, he got though. Pissed. It's which means he stuff. Got drunk.
I was pissed.
Yeah.
The drunk kind of pissed.
I'm on Steve's side here because I think we did. I remember a little bit about World War One. I'm with him. I wasn't there. I remember the dates-ish.
You look good for your age, Nat.
Thank you. Thank you. But to remember all the details like you remember, that's I mean, you're a very intelligent person.
That's true. So
well, and that more. Brilliance. But watch it, because, you know, they say that that's one hairline from going crazy. So you're just teetering on the...
Probably so.
I'm very normal, so probably, I'm not going crazy so. Anytime soon.
100 years ago, Walt Mason said, there's a man in this world that's never turned down where every chance is to stray. He gets the glad hand in the populous town and out where the farmers make hay. He's greeted with pleasure in deserts of sand and deep in the Isle of the Woods. Wherever he goes, there's a welcoming hand. He's the man. Who delivers the goods. I've always wanted to be a man that delivers the goods.
And I rest my case.
There you go.
There was a man from Nantucket.
Hickory dickory dock. What other mean stuff have you gotten? Is it dissuaded you from a public life?
Oh, no. I was subject to this back when I was on the reality show about the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders yeah. making the team. So it's nothing new. It hasn't hurt my heart too much. To hear all of that. And like I said, for the most part, everybody's very positive and encouraging. Nah, I mean,
well,
you're
going to
have
something to
you're
going to
have the haters. I mean, sure. You know,
if beauty was a race, most women would be racist.
He just says things like it's something bounces around in his skull. And he's like, I think this is good to say right now. And boom, there it comes.
It's twisted and sweet.
Well, no, that was what went through. So I said it. Yeah, you're right.
At least I can grow hair. Now, so like, what was it yesterday? And I will give you a trend. And so if you're still watching this, I want to give you a little trend and you guys will see this. All right. The people that want to complain, the people that want to, you know, throw insults and stuff like that. It's always interesting. There's always a trend. First of all, they typically have one profile picture that is usually blurry, and it is used over and over and over and over and over and over again with typical overlays that says, like, maybe it's the gay flag rainbow, or maybe it's We Stand With Orlando, or it's a Britain or a French tricolors, or they've just keep, or there's a unicorn down there, or Happy Easter, or, but it's the same blurry ass, out of focus picture of this person. And it's usually like from here to the rest of their head. Just start watching these trends. These are crazy people.
And they're cat collectors.
Or there's no picture of them at all. It's just here's a unicorn riding a cloud or a rainbow, or here's an angel, or here's the cross and a cowboy bowing down in front of it. You see what I'm saying? They're avatars or memes. It's no real right. pictures of them.
Well, and my sister, Julie, you know, we're from Conroe. And Julie will go Conroe. Yeah. So she saw some of them and she started replying to everybody. Who did you call a stupid ass? Like, she was mad, and she's ready to go at battle. And I don't think you want to go to battle with Julie, because, you know, unlike me, she will get arrested.
So here's the thing. Because Jade used to, so what Jade will do, my wife, what she'll do, and everybody knows who Jade is, but if you're a first-time listener to the Chad Brother Show, we want to welcome you for calling. Thank you. Call 1-800-976-4. Wait, what do we got? I got to remember Swindle's number. Let me look up Reverend Swindle's number real quick, because everybody needs to call the Reverend Swindle and needs to leave a voicemail. But what Jade will do is, she'll type out her response and then she'll just delete it. Like, she won't post it.
I did
like
that.
It just gets her out, gets it out of her system.
I've done that.
If I've had a little to drink and it's a Sunday night and it's late and I'm laying in a bed, I'll let somebody have it.
And I've witnessed some of those.
Yeah. I've had times where I'm like, come at you now. But that's rare because I really don't care. For me, people say, well, don't stoop to their level. Oh, no, I'm not. It's just entertaining. I enjoy it.
Absolutely.
So years ago, Jade was like, I don't know what to do with some of these comments. And I said, what comments? And she said, well, people are talking about, you know, you're sexy and you're hot. And I said, well, they just don't know me. I mean, that's an online. They don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so because I ain't sexy and I ain't hot and I ain't any of those things. I'm just a dude. Right. And so the that's where you're supposed to interrupt me, Natalie, and be like, no, you're sexy and hot. But the
I was going to say, who farts a lot?
Who farts a lot?
All the time.
More hair on his ass than his
this
head.
This studio is woo.
Call 469-324-5348 and leave your message for the Reverend Harold B. Swindle. 469-324-5348. Anyway, Jade, and so I said, well, let me read you some comments that I get or that I've seen. Okay, so I'm like, oh my God, you know, you got to leave your wife so I can be with you, and you're the man of my dreams, and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, where are you reading those? And I said, oh, I'm on Luke Bryan's page. And I said, now, do you think Lynn O'Brien, his wife, is honest to God reading this stuff, or is she standing in line to make another deposit at the bank? They don't care. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So if you chose this life, like I've had to talk Graham Allen, bless his heart. Graham, if you're watching, I love you, man. I've had to talk him off the ledge so many times because of all the vitriol and the hate and our friend Tommy Lahren. I've had to talk her down because these are just thin-skinned, weak individuals, and they get all the stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So let's just pray for him right now. Dear God, bless Graham. Bless Tommy and Natalie. Mm-hmm. Amen. Call Amen. The Reverend Harold B. Swindle. I'm just kidding about Graham. Tommy is weak, but no. Anyway, that's a tough chick. I don't even know if that I'm allowed to say that name on Blaze Networks. But anyway, 469-324.
Candace is going to bleep it out.
5348. Yeah, stays in, but Tommy Lahren gets beep, beep.
Oh, I thought you were chick. I didn't know if we could use the word chick or not.
Yeah, we can say chick.
Oh, okay. I like chicks.
Hang on. Let me give you the Reverend Swindle's voicemail here.
Hello, children. This is the Reverend, the Right Reverend, the Bishop, the Prophet, the Apostle, appointed by God, Reverend Harold B. Swindle, and I am happy to take your phone call. Unfortunately, we cannot get to the phone here at the Pearly Gates, Eye of the Needle Camel walking through Church of the Living God. We want you to leave a message because we know why you called. You know you called to leave a prophet for the prophet, and we do appreciate it. We are going to buy that airplane, dear friends, and I'm sorry. We could not answer your call. So long as the phones can ring and the eyes can see, leave a message. And I'll get back to the Harold B. Swindle. Thank you for calling.
Please leave your message after the tone. When done, hang up or press the pound key.
Reverend Swindle, this is your parishioner, Chad. I just want to call and say I love you. I've been giving faithfully. I'm still broke. So if you wouldn't mind talking to the Lord for me today and opening up that blessing. Thank you, Pastor. So anyway, Reverend Harold B. Swindle. God bless him. God bless him. I get a hate over Swindle. Like people get mad. How dare you?
Or offended?
How dare you? You're using the Bible to make fun, and you're using No. We're just making fun of these charlatan preachers. I encourage people to go check out. If you don't believe me, I want you to go to an Instagram page called Preacher Sneakers. Preacher Sneakers. And it shows the clothing, the accessories, and the footwear of many megachurch ministry pastors and leaders. Some of these guys are wearing $6,000-$7,000 shoes. They're wearing $900 belts, $1,500 shirts. And I'm like, that's what I make fun of with Harold Swindle. Mm-hmm. That's what we're making fun of. That's the point. It's a travesty. It really is. It is a poke in the face of Christianity, and we're calling it out. So that's what we do. My mother hates it. She's like, you got to stop doing that. Oh, people aren't going to like you. Like, Mom, trust me, people already don't like me. So it's good.
Well, speaking of the serious topics, somebody had mentioned, they said, did she just laugh while they were talking about sex trafficking?
Yeah.
Me, that I laughed during it, and I listened to the whole segment again to
make
sure I didn't
laugh. You
went
all the way
back through it. I did. I'm like, well, now, wait a minute, because I would have, you know, that obviously would never be the case that I would make fun or laugh at trafficking of any sort. But I watched it, and you were wrong.
Yeah.
I did not.
Well, you know, it's like humor. things are subjective. People, like, I love it when people say, you need to turn the volume up. No, you need to turn the volume up. I can't turn your volume up. You know? I mean, what do you want me to do? Talk louder? I mean, I already yell. I'm an angry white man, remember? So, didn't I get called like a redneck hillbilly white trash?
She, the P word. That girl, what was her name?
Linda?
Allison? No. Dominique said you were a...
Monique.
Monique said you were a redneck liar.
Oh.
And the P word.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody's got to have a fan club.
You were called a racist yesterday, too.
You were called a racist. It just said the show was racist.
And?
I think you get called racist
every
single day.
It's funny because... we have a perfectly good redhead sitting right over here in the director's seat today. So don't you dare call me a racist, all right? We are an equal opportunity employer. We have a ginger on staff, okay? Candace, I don't even know what color Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians, is. But she ain't white. Are you? No, I didn't think so. She's Native American Filipino Chinese. I don't even know. You know why? Because I don't see color. I don't even see color. Bougie Sean, he's on the show. He's the only black guy I know with white privilege. Mm-hmm. Jason Hernandez is from somewhere down there where they form caravans. Party foul Steve, he just wants to be gay and left alone.
Yeah. Heinz 57 right here.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
Yee yee.
Yee.
Yee
yee.
Yee yee.
Yee yee.
And you're something. You're just white.
White girl. Well, Allison's spray
super
tan.
White. She's Canadian. Don't tell me we're
Canadian?
Racist. She's Canadian. She's from Calgary. Come here, Allison. Everybody needs to know my assistant, Allison.
One of my best friends is Canadian, and something I don't like about her is that she doesn't like Bluebell ice cream.
Exactly. Here's my.
You
here's
don't
Allison.
Like
bend down
ice
where
cream?
They can see you. Bend down where they can see you. There's my sister from another mister, Allison.
Beautiful.
May. I love you, baby. She's a sister I never had. She's had a key to my house for years and years and years. She has. She's fed my dogs, played with my dogs.
Now that you're up here, there's a good chance you're going to get a message, or he is, that y'all just need to do each other.
Because we're horned.
And get the sexual
tension. Are you horned?
Are you horned?
How horned are you, Allison? Listen, if I turned Allison loose on some of these people, was a woman that tried to follow me into the men's room years ago, and she just snatched that girl by the ponytail. I didn't even know the girl was following me. And Allison grabbed her by the ponytail and just snatched her ass right back out. And
she needed to go.
I didn't even know it happened until people told me later on.
I bet you do have stories.
Oh, God.
I have plenty of stories.
Oh, God.
This is where I'm going to get pushed off the stage.
All right, everybody. There's Allison for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Allison.
Allison.
But Allison's Canadian, so don't call me a racist. I employ her. There are perfectly good Mexicans that mow my grass. And let me tell you something.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what's racist about that. I employ them. You know, I can't find white people to do it, or I'd hire them.
If they were good.
Screw it. I'm just giving you fodder. That's how stupid people are. I am from Augusta, Georgia. I grew up playing ball, playing baseball all over this country. Played beyond school. I can't tell you how many times I lived on a bus going to the next city and getting into a hotel room where they had four grown men sleeping in two double beds in the hotel. Mm-hmm. We didn't care if you were black or white or whatever you were. We took showers in the same common shower areas. I mean, in the locker rooms. I mean, you didn't cross your mind. And I'm telling you, I have never met, to my knowledge, I have never met a member of the KKK. I've never met a member of a white supremacy group. I mean, Seth's sitting over there. Seth's from West Monroe, Louisiana. He ought to know all those folks. He don't know anybody, you know? We got our new hats in. Keep Margaritas great. And
thanks to your mom.
Thanks, Mom. Keep Margaritas great.
Put it on.
There it is. Is that racist?
No.
You know, I mean, whatever. I love Margaritas. That's the key word, though, racist. Steve said, I'm going to say something back to him. I said, just call him a racist. That's all you got to do. It's the end of argument.
You're racist for calling me racist.
Yeah, because I don't defend. If anybody calls me racist, I'm not going to defend
What are you going to say?
Yeah, what are you going to say?
People have abused that word so bad, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Bledsoe and Sean Foster, I mean, the quota's full. I don't need any more black friends. Mm-hmm. I got my tokens. See, that's how stupid that rhetoric is. That's the kind of stupid things and ways people think. Mm-hmm. Like people are sitting around getting token friends. I've got Candace with her color to be named later. We don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, the melanin in your skin pigmentation, that is like 0.0001% of your DNA different from another human being.
Right.
That's it. That is it. That less than a percentage, less than a thousandth of a percentage point is the only thing that changes your skin color and makes you different from another person based on that.
Well, I've been...
We're all the same.
I've been guilty for trying to be overly sensitive to that because I'm always afraid that something that I'm going to say... I don't want to offend anybody, but that makes me walk on eggshells. And one of our daughters... It was after church. We were eating at Chewy's, and this
racist.
Our waitress came up, beautiful black girl, mm-hmm. and my daughter, who was in kindergarten or maybe first grade, looked at her with her blonde hair and blue eyes, looked up, and she said, "Hey, I know something about black people." And I'm not going to lie, I immediately went into the white girl response of, "We have black friends. We don't teach this at our house. I don't know, every white girl response you can think of to yeah. try to make this." And the girl was so awesome. She kind of was like, she looked at me and she's like, "Hey, white girl. Stop, let her talk." And I went, "Oh gosh." And sure enough, I'm like, "I don't know if I want to let her talk." But
she started to go into an ugly cry.
The girl bent down on her knee and got face to face with Maddox. And she said, what do you know? And she said, "Well, it's Black History Month and we're learning about Black history in school. And I learned about the bus." And this lady went to the back, or they told her to go to the back of the bus. And I'm not kidding, Maddox goes, and the lady was like, "I'm not going to the back of the bus." And that girl,
Rosa Parks had so much attitude?
She did. And Maddox says, "I'm not going to the back of the bus." But that was nothing that had been spoken about in our house. It should.
Good for her.
But Maddox had learned about that in class that morning. And it reminded me that I don't have to respond with a defensive reaction just because I'm afraid that I've offended someone. Because I'm not racist. So...
Well, we'll see.
Does her school have White History Month?
There we go. It just bounces around in the skull. Okay, folks. Go with it, Steve. What do you got
I'm
to
just
say?
I'm saying it's not fair. I want my own month.
You got 11 more months, Steve, to just be white. That's all you got to do.
11 months.
Just 11 more months to be white. You're even allowed to be white in February, which is Black History Month. So
nice.
28 days. I'm pissed off they give them the shortest month of the year. Mm. It's messed up, man. Well, I guess everything else is long on them, so you know, hey.
That's the only stereotype, though.
They ain't gonna deny it. It's just like Asian people aren't gonna deny the stereotype that they're good at math. I mean, that's let's get real. Let's talk about it. People won't talk about racism. It's lost all meaning because they've overused the word. Candace, are you good at math? Are you Asian? Okay, didn't think so. We'll figure this thing out.
You're not from Thailand?
You didn't come here in a box.
Look at her. She's hidden.
I bet Allison has. Allison, have you planted a maple tree in your yard yet? See, I knew that. That's all Canadians. They moved.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. They plant maple trees, and they like hockey.
Yes.
So, you know, but see, here's the difference. And I've said this before, and let's have we make fun of it because it should be mocked. It should, this whole stupid culture should be mocked. But the stuff that we focus on. No, I haven't faced the same things that African Americans have faced. Of course, they have had to deal with racial prejudice. And that's an atrocity. Hell, I'm still waiting on the Democrats to apologize for slavery in the KKK. It was all their fault, but they ain't going to do that. They're just going to keep calling conservatives racist. That's the dumbest thing in the world. People by nature, though, are prejudicial. I'm prejudicial mm-hmm. against white trash. I don't want to go hang out down in the you know, where the white trash folks live down in a holler. And
hey, easy now.
I know.
Deep East Texas.
I've had to try to convert you out of white trashiness.
Yeah, we do.
So anyway, look at me. I'm chill. My blood pressure is low, Jack. I ain't afraid of nothing. I ain't scared of nobody. Keep margaritas great. That's all I'm saying. We'll have these up on the website in a day or two. Limited. I only ordered like 40 of them, so they're going to be about $100 a piece.
I just sent this to a group of my friends.
you can have mine back. That's a little bit more than.
Let's do Pilates. Oh, it's party time, Mom.
You're bringing the funny back.
I know. People want to be, you know, whatever.
Well, I want to ask you a question because they said, or what I heard was, you just need to be funny. You're just getting all political, but isn't that your website? I mean, haven't you been known for
Please visit politicalcowboy.com and click on all the ads so we can get paid. Yeah. Politicalcowboy.com or follow me on Facebook.
I mean, that's your
cowboy.
Bit, right? Funny yeah, and
that's
political?
What we do. That's what
the
we
next
do.
Person will say, I don't like all the funny. I wish you would get more political.
Mm. Yeah.
So each person has their idea of how
you stupid
Chad
ass
how his show should
right.
be.
Right. Vote for Trump in 2020 and probably Mike Pence in 2024. We'll see.
Well, now I will say we got a lot of comments saying, please, Chad, run for president.
No. You need to see Allison
there's
as chief
so
of staff.
Much you would have to hide. There's so much.
I would make Allison my press secretary. Yeah. Can Gosh. You imagine? Oh, no. You hold on a minute. Y'all just think Canadians are nice. This trick right here will cut you long and deep. Yeah. I'll cut you, eh? Okay, well, this was going to be a 5-minute episode turned into 40. Yep, is that how long we are? 30? Okay. I love everybody on the planet. I can't stress that enough. I love my people. When I say my people, I do mean my people. I love you, Steve.
I love you, too. You mean the human race, right? When
I
say
I
my
do.
People. That's all of us.
But our people. Our tribe.
Our tribe.
You. Hot News. Seth. Allison. Chance, the ginger rapper. Mm-hmm. Candace, the race to be named later. Bougie Sean, the only black man with white privilege. Jason, Bill the Wall Hernandez. Who else?
What about Jade?
Who?
Jade.
Oh, I should probably give her an honorable mention. Yeah. She's the mother of the tribe.
She is.
She's something. God bless her.
The queen.
I know. People are like, you should have Jade on the show more. Somebody's got to go to work. Somebody has to feed our family, yeah. Pay the mortgage, you know? You think I'm getting it by putting free stuff on Facebook for you people? Huh? Coming on here just being a
If anyone wants to see the prettiest smile, I really do think she has the prettiest smile.
She has a pretty smile. Thank you for saying that.
Her ding, like a yeah. that commercial.
Yeah, I wish she did it more.
You make her smile.
She's my buddy. She's my pal. My best friend. Mm-hmm. We have a good marriage. You have a good marriage.
I do have a good marriage.
Steve has a good marriage.
Yes.
Very weird.
Tony's awesome. No.
What? It's great.
Allison has a strained marriage at best.
I celebrate 18 years on Saturday.
I married them. Did you know that?
No.
I performed the ceremony.
I'm sorry. You're ordained?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's right. That's yeah. true. You still have that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I still have that.
1999 on ordained.
They haven't revoked it yet. And if anybody
sure?
asks for it back, I'm putting it in there with a dog turd, mailing it in a box. So here you go.
Ordained.com. You too can be ordained.
No, I had to go through the whole process. I mean, I had to actually stand in front of people and get grilled. So, yeah, I didn't get mine online. So I tie a good knot, man. I don't think anybody I've ever married has ever gotten divorced. So it's done a lot. And no, I do not still perform. I will not for you. If you ask me, I will.
What if Phil called you?
Huh?
Phil Robertson, who said he marries people on his property, and he says he has to bring a pastor in.
Yeah, I'm just not.
Okay.
It's not going to do it. I don't have the energy for it. Too many moving parts.
I'm just saying, if Phil Robertson called you and said, "Hey,
I don't believe in Phil Robertson. I don't hang with white people. I don't hang with white people.
He built a wall.
He's
so
not diverse enough
at his property.
Yeah, build that wall. Keep Margaritas great. All right, I love y'all. God bless. Hope you enjoyed the funny.